Real Country, 1280 WHVR.
It's 12 minutes past 9. It's time for Jackie LeBeau and Heart to Heart.
Oh, thank you, Gil. Well, hi, everyone. I'm glad to be back. Had a little trip to Maine, which was wonderful. I was up in, it's sort of like I went from York, Pennsylvania to York, Maine. It was unbelievable. I was driving right by the York Art Association. I had to take a picture because I take classes in York down here at the York Art Association. But I was studying with a psychic medium, John Holland, and he was doing an advanced class on stage work. And I thought, oh, that's perfect for me because I have this event coming up June 6th at the Pulo Center. So I'm hoping a lot of you are coming out to see me there. I'll be talking about being a medium and also an animal communicator, and I'll be doing live audience readings that evening too. So it's going to be a fun time. So also, Gil, I wasn't too happy with that weather forecast, all that rain in the forecast. Mostly because at our home, we have like a 3-acre azalea garden, and I'm thinking all that rain is going to knock all my flowers off, so I better get out there today and take it all in while I have a chance before the rain comes. Well, everybody, I have a treat for us today. I have a special guest. Her name is Rose Hayes. And Rose comes to us. She's worked at the York Daily Record and the Sunday News since 1995, so she's been with them for about 17 and a half years. She started out as a part-time editorial assistant, answering phones, typing orbits and recipes. Then she became a full-time editorial assistant and web person. And then she moved to the copy desk. And she still does web stuff, so that tells you she must be really good at the web stuff. Rose is now called a multi-platform journalist. That was a new term for me, but it basically means she just does a little bit of everything. She writes stories, she takes photos and videos, she posts stuff online, and she does a lot of editing. In fact, her primary job is being a copy editor, which means that she edits the stories before they go in the paper, and she also does photo captions. And I got to know her as her role as the pet blogger, and that's actually how I met Rose. We met when I was doing a talk at the Bird Club of York, and also she attended an animal communication class that I hosted with Carol Gurney from the Gurney Institute of Animal Communication. So I'd like to welcome Rose this morning. Hi, Rose.
Hi.
So, Rose, tell us, now I told everybody about how you've come to us, you know, how I got to know you as a pet blogger, but before we talk about that, tell us a little bit about your animal family.
I've always had some kind of animals, and right now I have several cats that I rescued. I don't have any other pets right now. I used to have a dog, but he passed away. And I had a snake for a while, a California king snake, and he passed away about 2 years ago.
Well, that's quite an interesting assortment. Cats, dog, and a snake. I don't even know. What is a California king?
This one was black and white banded. He was really pretty.
Okay.
I got him when he was tiny. He was at an outdoor event. Somebody had him in little Tupperware containers, and several of them were dying because they were out in the sun and had no water. So I told the guy, and he tossed this one in the trash. So I just took it.
Oh my goodness. Well, see, that's you're a rescuer at heart, Rose.
Can't help myself.
Absolutely at heart. So have you always been an animal lover, even as a child?
Yes. My parents used to tell a story about me carrying around a dead mole for days, trying to make it better.
Sometimes you just can't revive them.
Yeah, don't worry. Apparently they took it from me when I was asleep and told me that it got better.
But that was a good thought then. You know, we all have those early experiences, and you know, do you have any thought what really attracted you to animals?
No, it's sort of like ever since I can remember, I was drawn to them. I don't really know what it was.
You know, a lot of times I think it's that unconditional love. it's that, you know, you just have this closeness with them, and it's like they sort of give back to you because they can sense, you know, how you feel about them. And it's sort of that give and take thing. So I think that's a lot of what it goes. And I find that a lot with people, you know, that I do readings for, a lot of them have had a history of always being attracted to animals and working with animals and helping animals and bringing animals home.
Oh, yeah, I was famous for that.
Okay. So what did you bring home?
Just about everything. My mom was to the point when I came in the door, she would right away say, "What do you have?" Because she was terrified of snakes and lizards and any of that. So
that's interesting. You know, I have to say, I've had to work on myself with snakes because there's a lot of snakes out in our woods, and I used to get pretty panicked about them. Now, I know, as far as I know, and we have never seen anything that I believe is poisonous where we are, but there can be in this area. So I worry about that, particularly since I have dogs. But I've really had to work on that one. So you never had any fear or aversion to snakes?
No. Spiders terrify me, but any other animals I'm fine with.
See, I think, isn't that interesting? Isn't it? You know, my husband always says, okay, there's got, you know, he says, everybody has an aversion to spiders and snakes. He said, so what is that?
With spiders, I think it's all the legs.
I feel that way too. I guess they're called centipedes, but I call them legers.
Yeah, I don't like those either.
You know, but I've gotten to the point now that I can actually save those, move them outside.
Yeah, I don't kill spiders or them. I try and catch them and put them out, but I can't touch them.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I'll get a big towel or like a hand towel, and I'll like put it around it, and then I'll like go to the door and like, you know, flick it out and like, okay, I said, if you go out, you can go out. If not, I'll have to do something else.
Yeah, you can't go to sleep knowing they're there.
Oh,
yeah.
No. And we live in the woods. So I got to tell you, there's times I've seen some huge spiders. And I can't believe I've gotten to the point where I could actually even like, you know, just, you know, scoop them up with a towel. Actually, my husband won't do that normally.
I usually use like a jar or a plastic container and put them in that. So, okay. But yeah.
But they definitely sense you, you know, and they know, and, you know, so it's like, you know, I always try to tell them, I'm going to take you outside, you know.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that talks to them when I'm doing it.
Oh, yeah, you have to. I always say, you know, work with me and I'll take you outside. Yeah, it's funny. It's like I'm thinking, I can't believe I'm doing this now. But I can tell you one thing. I'm sure my mother, who's listening, I'm sure, Mom, you can't believe it either, can you? You wouldn't be letting those spiders, taking those spiders out. So it is funny how we get started with things. So I can see your mom always like, what's in your pocket when you come home?
What do you have? She'd be getting ready to get up on, because mice terrified her too. And she would be ready to get up on the chair. I don't know why people do that, because they can climb.
You know, I swear it's because, you know, we just have seen that in cartoons and stuff.
Yeah.
So we think that's what you do. You know, if you see a mice, you get up on something. So.
That's what she did, yeah.
I know there's lots of things. I mean, just yesterday, we had a groundhog in the yard, and of course the dogs went out, and it went up a tree. Now, I have to tell you, I know that now, but that always surprises me. I don't think of a groundhog.
I never thought of them as climbing either.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. It's interesting, you know. It's like right up the tree, hold on to the tree. And I'm thinking, I didn't think that was even possible.
No. They look too chubby.
I know. Well, that's what they sort of like, you know. And when they're up in the tree, they almost look a little bit like a koala bear. You know, the way they hold on and stuff. So I'll tell you, living out in the woods, I'm learning all kinds of things. All kinds of things.
Well, my sister lives in the woods too, and where she used to live was even worse. They had huge spiders, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
That would terrify me.
Yeah.
We used to call them Jurassic spiders because they were huge.
I can believe that. Yeah. I can believe that. You know, and they're actually not the most dangerous ones as far as I know.
I don't think so.
It's the smaller ones, and we've got that brown recluse in this area.
Yeah.
So, I'm always, so I'm always like looking around before I like put my foot in a boot or something. So
yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit now. I know you do the blog, the pet blog for the York Daily Record. Tell me a little bit how that got started.
We were at a copy desk meeting one day, and I suggested it to my boss that we should have a pet's web page. That was before we did the blog. It started out as a web page. And he said, yeah, go for it. So I did. I went to the shelters and took photos of the available pets and got information from all the shelters and put it up there. And it took off from there. People kept sending me more information, and I learned so much since I've been doing it, things I never knew existed. So, like, I didn't know about the low-cost spay and neuter clinics they have and vaccine clinics, all that stuff.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we'll hold on to that because we'll talk about that a little later. And you can give people a little bit of information about that. And so they know what to expect if they participate in something like that, because those are really nice services that are being provided. But I know that's why Rose, I think you're just a wealth of information. So, you know, you've given me so many great ideas for the show, too, and I really appreciate that. So, you know, I've seen at the blog, so I encourage you, tell people how to find the blog. What's the address?
Okay, it's www.yorkblog.com/pets.
Okay, all right.
It kind of morphed from it was a web page, then it was a blog, then it was both, and now it's back to a blog.
Okay.
I think we're keeping it that way now, yeah.
All right. So one more time, it was www.yorkblog.com. Yorkblog.com.
Slash pets.
Okay, slash pets. All right. And I saw a lot of pets there the other day when I was looking. So those are pets that are looking for homes, right?
Yeah. We also have we get a lot of lost and found pets. So, you know, I try to put those up right away because it's always best to find them as quickly as possible. So I put them up and then I send them to other websites and Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, wonderful, Rose. I love that you share that information, because you're right. I mean, the sooner you can find a lost animal, the better chance of reuniting it with its family, because once they get out there for a while, they get really afraid, you know. And if they're normally, you know, very people-friendly, they get, you know, very nervous, and then they shy away from people.
Yeah, I had one that took off. This was years ago. He pushed the screen out of the window while I was at work, and he was gone for 3 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
And I posted flyers and everything, and someone called and said, I think he's in our backyard. So I went over, and I called him. It was him, and I thought he would come running to me, but he didn't. He hesitated, and then he took off. He was scared.
Yeah.
So we had to set a humane trap to catch him.
Yeah, and that's I'm glad you brought that up, Rose, because a lot of people think that, you know, like with their dog or cat or anything, that, you know, if they've been lost for a while, when they see you, they'll be like, oh, great, it's Mom, and they'll come running to you.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. I was like, wow, you don't remember me?
And they're just sort of on edge. I think they're so on edge from being out on their own when they're not used to that.
Yeah.
And they're just, it just has this fear thing takes over, and they don't know, should they go, should they not go? And then they always seem to revert to the run.
Yeah.
Run. So that's another reason why the sooner you can retrieve a lost animal, the better, before they totally get into that. But it would be terrifying to be out, you know, if you're not used to that.
Well, he was born in my house, so he was always an indoor cat.
Right.
And he didn't know where he was out there, I'm sure.
Right. So even just being outside and not having the space enclosed and, like, not having a ceiling. You know what I mean? For an animal who hasn't seen the sky, and there'd be so many things that would be new to it.
New smells and new noises and everything.
So I'm glad that you brought that up, because I know now and then a lot of us have had to deal with a pet that got out. So it's nice to know that their mindset changes when they're out too, and it's not the same as when they're with you. So that's great.
Well, there's a Sheltie that's been missing for months now that's been seen back and forth between like Felton and Hellam area, and now she's being seen down in Stewartstown. She had an injured leg, so her leg was shaved, so they know it's the same one, but she's so terrified they can't catch her.
Yeah. Oh,
she runs from everyone.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
But at this point, yeah, she would be. Yeah. So, and you think too, like, what are they eating?
I know. Well, and they're setting up food stations trying to lure her. They have traps set. So far, no luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just can't believe they even saw her as far down as Delta at one point.
Wow, so she's traveling.
Yeah. She started out in Amicsville in Manchester area.
Wow, she's really traveling.
Mm-hmm. But it's been since February that she's been out there.
Wow. Oh, that's a shame. Those poor people just must be so upset.
Well, they don't know who she belongs to. She was hit by a car on 83. And they found her and took her and had the surgery done to fix her leg. She went to a foster home and she ran away from the foster home.
Oh, so she's trying to find her. She was trying to find her house.
Yeah.
But now she's probably so confused. Goodness knows. Yeah. Oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. Oh. Well, that's all the whole thing with, you know, animals, you know, that are out.
Well, if anyone does see her, they should let Find Toby and PA know. They're on Facebook, and they're the ones who are really searching for her and setting traps and everything. And if they hear that she's in an area, they'll find a place where they can set the traps and try and catch her.
Okay, so now who should people contact again, Rose?
It's Find Toby in PA, and it's on Facebook. They have a Facebook page. They don't have a regular web page.
So it'd be Facebook/?
Yeah.
Is that how you do it?
It should be Facebook/?
Find Toby in PA.
Or if you even go on Facebook page and just search for Find Toby in PA, it'll come up.
Okay, so it's like Find Toby in PA, as in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Okay, and so if anybody out there sees this cute little Sheltie with a shaved leg, you know she's the one they're looking for.
Yeah. By now, her hair might even be growing back.
I was thinking that too as I said that. I was thinking if it's been that long, I'm thinking pretty soon now you're not going to be able to tell.
Yeah.
That's not going to be an identifier.
No.
It's not going to be an identifier for her. So. Well, tell me about some of the other interesting stories you've covered in the blog. You told me about this group that reads to horses.
Oh, yeah. I didn't cover that on my blog, but we did put it in the paper. Down in Collinsville, the Collinsville Library, they have a program. I'm not sure. I think it's once a month, and they have kids can read to the horses like other libraries have read to the dog, but they have the read to the horses program.
Yeah, and I've heard that those programs, now this was the first time I heard read to the horses.
Yeah,
I think that only happens in places like here where we are. Where, but I've heard those are extremely successful with children who are having reading difficulty, that all of a sudden they just are calm and centered, and they are able to read really well when they're reading to the animal, to the horse.
Yeah, I've heard that. And I've heard that the dogs actually seem to pay attention. They mm-hmm. watch them while they're reading. They're interested.
Yeah, I think that too. Didn't you say the horses too acted?
Yeah,
were really...
the photo we had, the horse was looking right at the little girl while she was reading, looking at the book.
Yeah, you know, they're so receptive to people, and particularly children.
Yeah.
I find that with all animals.
Yeah.
But horses, too. I remember my good friend, when her daughter was like two, and she had no fear of horses. Meanwhile, here I am, the adult, and I'm like, you know, I'm sort of like, this is a really big animal. But I think, you know, animals know. And the horse was always so gentle and so mindful of Katie. I mean, she'd just be walking right next to this big horse, and she'd just, like, give it a little slap and tell it to move on. And meanwhile, I'm standing there going, oh, my gosh. I think, okay, if this little 2-year-old can do this, I have to get myself a little braver here and put that away. And, you know, and I'm okay now with horses, but I'm telling you, but I'm also very respectful.
Yeah.
And luckily.
Actually, I've seen your dogs, and you should be kind of used to horses. They're really large.
That's true. That's true. They actually, they would call my dogs
like
ponies.
Ponies, yeah.
That is true. I've had many people say that. It's not quite the same. Not quite the same, but it is true. I am used to big animals because when people tell me about some dog, you know, being big, I say, well, big is relative. You know, because they're talking about, you know, maybe a small golden retriever size. Well, you know, when I have a Great Pyrenees and a Newfoundland, so
a little bigger.
Yeah, yeah. I always tease my Newfoundland that she's a little rhinoceros.
Okay, we're going to take a break here for just a moment.
All right, we'll be back.
And we're going to go do the weather. And we'll be back after this. You're listening to Heart to Heart with Jackie LeBeau. And we'll be back after the weather after this.
You haven't tasted.
And we're back with Heart to Heart.
Okay. You know, I forgot to tell everybody how to call in. So I'm going to give you the phone number here. And because we're going to be talking about spay and neuter clinics and vaccine clinics, and you might have some questions about that Rose can answer. So if you have any questions or you have any questions about your own animal, your dog or cat or horse, I can do readings on the air. But the number here to call is 717-637-0052. Okay, so don't hesitate to chime in here and we'll answer some questions. So, Rose, you mentioned some of the things that you've learned recently about spay and neuter clinics and vaccine clinics. So, tell us a little bit about the spay and neuter clinics.
I know they have them at the York County SPCA. I don't know if they have certain days for them there or not.
But they could call the SPCA and find out about the clinics. Now, for people who aren't familiar with that term, what do they mean by that when they say that, a spay and neuter clinic?
That's it's usually lower cost, and you can get your pets spayed or neutered so that they can't
reproduce.
Make more.
Yeah.
And I think the SPCA also will do feral cats, I think, on certain days. But you'd have to call and get an appointment. Their number is 717-764-6109. And also Animal Rescue in New Freedom area. They do low cost for feral cats or owned cats. And it's for theirs, I've had some done there. And theirs are done usually Tuesdays and Thursdays. And it costs $30 to get them spayed or neutered. Plus, you can get them their shots for, I think it's $7 each for distemper and the rabies shots. So to get all that, it's less than $50.
Wow, that's really a nice service.
Yeah, I've used that a lot
past. Yeah. That's a nice service for everybody. And it's so important to do the spay and neutering. There's so many animals out there, and particularly I call this kitten season, and
yes.
I don't say that, you know, with relish, because this time of year there's always kittens that we find in the woods and around our area, and of course they're feral now, and they're really hard to catch. I mean, we've set some humane traps too to see if we could, you know, get them and get them spayed too, because kittens reproduce. I mean, how long is it? It's like 6 weeks between when cats can have one litter to the next.
As soon as they're done nursing the one litter, they can come and heat. I've seen that happen with one that I couldn't catch before I caught her kittens and I couldn't catch her, and she got pregnant again.
I mean, can you imagine that? As soon as they're done nursing the first litter, they can, you know, get pregnant again. So think about...
And they can start when they're 5 or 6 months old, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
So 5 or 6 months, they're not even a year old.
Yeah.
So think about that, everybody, when you talk about all these cats. So I know we did a T-shirt one time for a group that was promoting, you know, spay and neutering, and we called it the population explosion. Because think about one kitten, how many kittens, I should have that number with me, I don't anymore, it was astronomical.
I remember seeing that somewhere, yeah. I don't have it with me either, but it's amazing how many one cat can end up making later.
Yeah, because, you know, if they start at 5 months and they keep having kittens.
They can come in heat, I think, 3 times a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so... That's a lot of cats.
Yeah.
That's a lot of cats. And also for your dogs, too. And a lot of times it's healthier. Now, you know, I believe in, you know, letting particularly dogs get a little mature before, you know, you do that. Because it's just better for their internal organs to be at full maturity before we alter them. But it's also good for them as well. And it also calms animals down, particularly males.
Yeah. It keeps them from wanting to wander as much, too.
Right. Yeah. So if you have somebody who, you know, isn't staying at home, you know, that keeps them at home because there's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. Yeah. So, all right. So I encourage people to take advantage of services like that. What was that number again, Rose,
for animal rescue or?
For both.
The SPCA is 717-764-6109.
And that's the York SPCA.
York SPCA, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, I'm not sure, I think they have low-cost clinics for dogs. I know they do for cats. And Animal Rescues is just for cats. Their phone number is 717-993-3232. Or to call and make an appointment for spay-neuter, you can call. They have a different number. It's 717-246-8842. And you call that number. You can only call between 6 and 8 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays for that one.
So they must get a lot of calls if they're limiting it to that amount of time.
Yeah.
So that goes to show how popular these programs are.
Right. I think they're booked through late June already.
Oh, well, that's interesting. So, you know, if you want to have this done, you know, call.
Yeah.
Call. If you call now, you're still looking at, you know, later in June or later in the summer because they're booked. So I'll also encourage people, we gave numbers here for the York SPCA, but if you're in other areas like Adams County and other states, call your local SPCA and just inquire whether or not they do any low-cost spay and neuter programs that you can take advantage of.
Yeah.
Because a lot of other ones do as well. And we don't have all those numbers, but just give them a call and see if something like that is available. So vaccine clinics, too. I mean, I just have to bring that up because 2 weeks ago, we were fortunate to have Dr. Christina Chambrow with us, and she has some very, very strong opinions about vaccines, so we're going to show the other side here, too, because vaccines can be very beneficial.
Yeah.
And particularly, you know, the first vaccines.
You definitely, I think you should have the first set.
That's my feeling, too, Rose.
Get some started, but... They're finding that a lot of times if you have this first series or whatever, that covers them for a lot longer than they originally thought.
And that's absolutely true, Rose. In fact, a lot of clinics, a lot of veterinarian practices are following a new protocol that's been put out that actually recommends vaccines every 3 years.
Yeah.
That they have scientific proof that the vaccine lasts definitely for a minimum of 3 years. And they're doing studies now currently to also show that it lasts longer than that. So pretty soon, I'm thinking that we'll have results from studies that show that vaccines can last 7 years and longer. However, I also agree with Rose, and I said this the last time we were on the air with Dr. Chambrow. The vaccine issue is controversial. Everybody has their own opinions, and there are different opinions out there from doctors themselves share different opinions because, as we know, Dr. Chambrow also comes from a Western medicine background, but she also is a holistic vet. So you have to do a little bit of research yourself, but I agree with Rose. I always do the initial vaccines. And then I don't keep going on, except for the rabies, which is required by law.
By law, yeah.
But the other ones, I don't do that because they're finding, too, that vaccines, think about it, all of us. I mean, we all had vaccines as children, but we don't go back to the doctor every year and get revaccinated. I mean, we got it as a kid, and then, you know, that built the antibodies, and, you know, we're protected for life. So that is, in fact, also true for animals in most cases. So
I thought I read somewhere recently that they are looking at relaxing some of the laws about the rabies vaccine for indoor pets especially.
Yes, I've heard that too, Rose. I've heard that too, because there is more and more science showing.
Yeah.
And also the rabies vaccine is one of the hardest vaccines on an animal system. So, you know, I think just the scare of rabies is, you know, what sort of pushed that. You know, there wasn't really any scientific evidence that said you had to have it every year or every 3 years.
They were just...
But you know, it's they were in the better safe than sorry mode.
Yeah.
But now, because of the complications that it can cause in the health of animals, they're revisiting that and they're getting a lot more science behind that to make everybody feel comfortable with that decision.
Yeah, especially with elderly pets. Some vets already are kind of a little hesitant to vaccinate them every year.
Yes, absolutely. And at any level, you can do what's called titers.
Yeah.
And it'll prove that you have the antibodies still in your system, you know, to thwart, you know, the disease without having another vaccine. So that's true, too. In fact, we've had that. We had a 10-year-old Great Pyrenees. And also if you have health issues, you know, if your animal is having any significant health problems or going in for an operation or things like that, that is often not the time to also deluge their system with a vaccine, particularly something like rabies.
Yeah.
That is so hard on the system. So, yeah, absolutely.
So we have a call.
Oh, great.
Yay.
Well, we had a call. Never mind.
Okay. All right. Well, whoever that was, feel free to call back.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break, and this is probably a good time to do that.
Wow.
And we'll be back after this.
Be on hooves.com.
Okay, we're back. It's 8 minutes until 10 o'clock. You're listening to Heart to Heart with Jackie LeBeau.
Well, hey, everybody, I'm going to give you that phone number one more time. 717-637-0052 if you have questions or want to talk about your pet. So I'm here today with Rose Hayes. She does the pet blog at the York Daily Record. She's also a copy editor for them, and she's been telling us some great things about some of the stories that she's covered. And I guess the one thing I wanted to ask you before we close, Rose, we did get to know each other at the animal communication class that we held at my house. And I just wanted to get your feedback a little bit and tell everybody how that went for you and what you thought about it.
I really enjoyed it. And I was kind of surprised. I was thinking I wasn't going to get anything, but I kind of got close on a couple things when we were doing readings. And I really, and it was different than I thought it would be. I thought I would hear like maybe words or something, but it was more like just a thought popped into my head.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, and I met a lot of really nice people and had a lot of fun.
Yeah, good. Yeah. It is funny, isn't it? Because people have this thing with animal communication. They think it's like talking to a person.
Yeah,
and you're just hearing these words. But actually, what I found is it's a lot for me, like talking to spirit when I do my work as a medium, that you get pictures. And I will tell that with people, animals actually communicate in pictures a lot. And I get that also as a medium. Spirit will send me pictures of things, even sometimes little movie clips. And like Rose said, you get feelings.
Yeah.
You know? So if an animal is having discomfort somewhere in their body, you can feel that in your own, can't you?
Yeah, I didn't have that, but I remember the one woman did at the class. She was feeling something in her back, and she was doing a reading on a pet that had issues.
Yeah, that was Libby. So yes. I don't know if you're listening, Libby, but we're talking about you, because I told Libby, I said, you're an empath. And she still is, and she's doing great. She's been doing a lot of things with the animal communication. So has Diana Whitehead's been doing great work.
Oh, yeah?
So, and it's also, like Rose said to me, I said, have you been doing it? And she said, I haven't practiced.
And my big problem is focusing when I do the meditation. I start focusing, and then I drift off.
Yeah. It's really sort of clearing. It's sort of clearing your head so that there you make room for things to come in.
Yeah.
Because we all are thinking a zillion things a minute.
Yeah, that's what happens. I'm meditating, and then, what was I going to get at the store?
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. And then we go from that. So, but, yeah, and we were studying with Carol Gurney, right?
Yeah.
From the Gurney Institute for Animal Communication. She came in from California, and she was a wonderful teacher. And I'd encourage anybody, if you're interested in animal communication, to pick up her book.
Her book is good.
Her book is wonderful. It's sort of step-by-step things.
Is she going to be doing another local one?
Yes, we are. It's probably now going to be in 2014.
Yeah.
But I think Carol is coming back, and I've been considering doing a class myself. I actually had somebody call me and ask me to do that, so I don't know if I'll get that together or not. But it is. And the thing about it, too, is it's practice, like you said, right, Rose?
Yeah. Yeah.
The more you practice doing it, it's like learning a language.
Yeah.
You can't
know it right away.
No, you can't know it right away. Mm. And the more you do it, the easier it gets.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with talking to your animals. And the other big thing I tell people is trusting what you get.
Yeah. Because the first thing you think is, oh, that can't be right.
Right.
I made that up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly, Rose. It's like, oh, that was just me thinking that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we do. And that's what we all do.
Yeah.
But so don't doubt. Just go with the first thing you get and feel comfortable with knowing that that's, coming from your animal.
Well, and your dogs were really good subjects. They just hung out and relaxed and hung out with everyone.
Oh, well, thanks, Rose. They're pretty calm most of the time. Most of the time. But it's good practice. And practice... with friends' animals, practice with animals that somebody can validate what you're getting.
And it's better to do not with your pets when you're practicing, right?
Because I think that's true.
You already kind of know.
Right. You already have in your head what you think they think about things.
Yeah.
So if you do it with somebody else's pet, you don't have in your head, they don't like so-and-so, or, they always get up and move if she walks in front of them or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not discounting what you're getting.
Yeah.
You're right, Rose. You work with other people's pets. We all have people that do that, and it's just practice. It's just practice, like with anything else. So I say that, but I have to do it, too. I have to do it, too.
Okay, that's going to do it for this week.
Oh, well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Come back next Tuesday at 9, and we'll see who's going to be joining us then, too. So thanks for joining us.
Okay.